This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvini Raj
and Christine Wong.
We're talking about video games today and whether or not we should be encouraging children to play video games. We'll get back to that hot topic in just a few minutes after Arv has given us an update on the KLCI at break.
Yeah, so it is down by 0.87% at 1,524 points. Active stocks include Pegasus Heights Berhad, Pemaju Industries Berhad, and Pasukas Group Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.14 against the US dollar. It is at 3.03 against the Aussie dollar and 3.04 against the Sing dollar.
Thanks very much for that, Arv. Coming up in just a minute, we're having a bit of a discussion about TikTok. Mm-hmm. But of course, the topic we're running with is, should we be encouraging children to play video games? The poll numbers so far, Twitter is still hovering around 60% yes. Mm-hmm. Over on Instagram,
it is 79% yes, 21% no, and we have a bunch of responses, including KPS Hassan says social interaction is far more important and valuable, of which I'm like, you can have social interaction on video games too.
Yeah, that's what webcams and headphones and microphones are for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ivawa says, unless parents can supervise or else excessive gaming is bad. Olivia SY says, some amount of game time is healthy, strategy games specifically. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And Weepa.Sapporo says, eye limb coordination, instant decision making, achieving targets, figuring out environments and rules.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Of Twitter, please.
Yeah. So this comes from Naishan, who says, my son learned to read and type at age 5 to 6 playing video games.
Same.
Joanna says, increase abilities in multitasking, strategizing, reaction time, hand-eye coordination, creative thinking, competitiveness amongst others. Also safe entertainment, fun, and comes in many forms. FPS or first-person shooter, simulation management, adventure, puzzles, and a lot more to explore. Joanna, do you happen to be a gamer?
Over to WhatsApp as well. Walter has said, I learned most of my English vocabulary from simulation and city building computer games. I think it's beneficial depending on what game you're hooked on. Ro, of course. Hi, Ro. Mm-hmm. No, but just the other day, I was walking around a maze eating these white marshmallows suspended in thin air when suddenly these colourful octopi-like creatures chased me. And I remembered thinking, thank goodness I played Pac-Man for hours as a child. Thank you, Ro. Another one here from number ending 8883. For me, playing games is good, but need to balance it. Unless you the choice between your game as your job path, then you need to focus and pay 100% attention. Don't get stuck in between. A job can't be doing well and game also at the same time. So balance is the order of the day there. And Cy Yang has said, oh yes, video games. I will attempt to get both my daughters to be my gaming buddies. Aww. I might regret this decision later, but I'm also okay playing board games and card games with my daughters too. Family bonding with games sounds amazing. I have a personal beef with competitive gaming and I hate the drama that comes along with it, which is the main avenue for esports. But I made peace with myself that you need different games for different people. Mm-hmm. Indie gaming is where the heart is, even if AAA games are where the money is.
Nice.
Good points. Question again, should we be encouraging children to be playing video games? Do you think that there is a future in it or a career path for them in it, whether it's game development, art development, even playing the games? Do you need to be the best of the best is the discussion that we're having. With that in mind, keep the answers coming in. Keep your responses coming in. We're now moving on to TikTok,
yes,
which is something that some people don't quite understand even now.
Yeah, so basically this is based on an article from Fast Company, Why Kids Are So Obsessed with TikTok, according to a social media expert. So this is a political scientist called Kevin Munger who wrote this article. And I'm going to try and keep this a little short and sweet, but basically there's been a curiosity about why TikTok has taken off as much as it has. It was the second most downloaded app in the world in 2019 and the most downloaded app in July, literally July 2020 as well. So how it works, it's, you know, short form video content, 3 to 60 second long video that loops when finished. And you've got like the sounds you can overlay. Those are like audio files that you can either use or upload or choose from a library of popular sounds. Old Town Road, one of the most popular songs of all time, first gained popularity as a TikTok sound with an associated dance, right? So let's talk about how it compares to other social media and other video platforms. So YouTube, like YouTube, for example, it's just videos like Facebook. Facebook and Twitter, you navigate through a feed of short digestible posts. Like Netflix, the default mode of encountering content is through the recommendation algorithm, not through friend follower networks. And like Snapchat and Instagram, TikTok can only be produced on mobile phones, favoring younger users who are more fluent with smartphones than computers. So TikTok is the first social media platform to combine these characteristics. That's number one. Number two, information density. So TikTok is especially information dense, with the feed enabling a consumer to scan through several pieces of bite-sized content per minute. And in combination, these trends make scrolling through the For You page this whirlwind experience that, you know, in comparison, makes other media feel slow. And, you know, we always talk about young people's attention spans and stuff. And while I think some of that is a bit exaggerated, it's true. You just are bombarded with so much content on TikTok constantly, and it changes every single second, right? Next thing is different costs and benefits. On the cost side, because TikTok is designed for smartphones, it's easier for younger people to use, generally speaking, because younger people are digital natives, and the earlier in your life cycle that you spend, you know, using technology, the more skilled you will become at using that technology as well. It also encourages videos filmed in the vertical orientation as well, so it's just, it's easy to, like, there's not very much editing involved. You whip out your phone, you film whatever, and then you go, right? In terms of benefits as well, the importance of that recommendation algorithm over a friend network means that everyone is guaranteed to at least a few views, even on their first TikTok. So on Twitter, you might log on and tweet dozens of times before you get any likes due to the importance of your followers. But on TikTok, you know, it's a bit more equal in terms of the distribution of views as well. So it can feel for young people like at least someone's watching, and at least you're, someone is engaging with your content.
I from what I understand, and I know that the algorithm of TikTok as of yet hasn't been cracked per se, you know. From what I understand, if you are a new user, they push out your video much more, so you get a lot of likes very early on, and then it, apparently it dies off as you upload more videos. I don't know how true that is. But, you know.
But yeah, it definitely does have a more equal kind of a viewing opportunity platform in a way, much unlike YouTube, which now, you know, it's so difficult to like go viral on YouTube, right? And the last thing are these common sounds, unique moves. The sounds aspect of TikTok, where you can, you know, get a clip from a movie or a song or whatever, are really have what put TikTok ahead of a lot of social media platforms, because they're very easily memed, honestly. When you have this common ground thing that a lot of people can contribute to, that's why all these dance challenges are so popular. You know, it really contributes to, like, anyone can create that content. Anyone can hop in on the bandwagon and do the trend. But it also means that, you know, you can't separate the memes from the individuals. You know, I think on Twitter, YouTube, whatever, the memes are kind of their own individual thing. But, you know, once you have a song that's a meme that's associated with dance and all that stuff, it's basically says, the article says that the identity, sorry, the identity categories that are increasingly central to politics play a major role on TikTok, because the memes often play with the race, gender, appearance, or physical location of the TikToker.
Right. I think part of the problem is that there are companies, well-established companies, who are using this whole idea of going digitally. And, you know, their heart is in the right place. Yet you see them attempting to use TikTok. And it feels almost like an old man attempting to use TikTok, and how an old man thinks that TikTok should be used. And it comes across on your feed, and you're just like, oh no. You know, do you know what I mean?
It's a bit cringy to watch. I think it's because of the effortlessness. Like you were mentioning, the how easy it is to use TikTok and how people have access to their smartphones and how they use these videos. I think it boils down to how effortless you are in making those videos.
And that's how it should remain.
It should remain, because you see a lot of people, maybe like teenagers, using TikTok. At the same time, you see a lot of people, you know, like senior people using TikTok, and they both have the same sort of effortlessness.
I think it's one of two extremes. It's either that the video has to feel effortless in terms of it's very well produced, or it's not at all well produced.
And that works.
Okay, shall we get back to some of the responses from the earlier question?
Yes.
Thanks for that, Chris. Should we be encouraging kids to play more video games?
So we have some messages from, this comes from Roy, who says that the best things in life are free outside. Yes, true, but also video games are awesome. Alisa Roslan says, video games are a great way to get kids to read quote-unquote stories. especially if they are RPGs or role-playing games. Strategy games are also a good way for kids to learn how to plan. Parents just need to be in the know about what games are. What games are good and what aren't is really not that hard. You also have Let It Snow, who says, practice moderation. I can't afford a game console back in the 90s, so I played games on my parents' PC, picked up some hardware and software skills along the way. Downside is these days you can't stop playing mobile games because it's in your phone.
That's true.
And Benji says, I don't encourage, but I do let them have some fun because all his friends are playing, and if he is not up to date, he will be left out of the conversation.
That pester power is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. We need to take a short break. We will be back in just a few minutes. We have a final story coming up about procrastination, Alf's favorite topic after movies. We've got some music from Supergrass with Rush Our Soul. If you want to add to the conversation very quickly, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.